Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
Morning. Woo, you guys look incredible. Hey, at this time, if you are a part of the Bridge Ministry, we want to go ahead and dismiss you. Miss Sarah's in the back. Miss Sarah, wave your hand at us. If you're a part, that is 5th and 6th grade, correct? Miss Caitlin, 5th and 6th grade. If you're a 5th or 6th grader, you can go on out. It is your time to be with your people. Somebody give our 5th and 6th graders a hand. Yeah, we love them. We love them. This is such a special day, an incredible opportunity. I would like to thank my husband for the opportunity to share the pulpit. It is a great honor. And this is the biggest crowd I've ever preached to. But you guys look great. You look incredible. And I know I'm at home, right? So I don't have to be nervous or weird, right? We're just going to do this thing. I know every year I'm going to get to preach Mother's Day. So I have all year to prepare. There's no excuse. It comes the same time every year. So I'm just excited to be with you all, especially on Mother's Day. What a special day. And God really started birthing a word in me about, this was over a month ago. I have always wanted to preach on the story of Moses for Mother's Day. I love Moses on Mother's Day because Moses had a mother who had, we know, most of us know, had to give him up. And then he had like an adoptive mother through Pharaoh's daughter. And then Miriam, his sister, had a large part in raising Moses up. So he had all these incredible women in his life. And I was like, yes, this is the year. The Lord is going to let me preach on the three women who helped raise Moses. And that's where I thought I was going to get to go. But it's not where I'm going to get to go this morning. So we are going to be in Exodus this morning. But I'm going to talk to you about what happened even before that. Many of you guys know that the theme of this day is warrior women. How many of you, your mama or your wife is a warrior, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. A force to be reckoned with, right? Well, I think we need that. I think if you look around at the world today, it is no surprise that we are in an invisible war. A war against light and dark. A war against what is wrong and what is right. And there is a divide there. And there's a choice there. What side of the war am I going to fight on? Who's my commander in this war that I'm fighting? And that's where we're going to go today. And I believe that I'm preaching to some men and some women who stand on the right side of this war. Some kingdom warriors who know how to advance up against the kingdom of darkness, push back the kingdom of darkness and advance the kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I am so excited. And we're going to be in Exodus 1. If you want to get out your Bible and turn to Exodus 1 and go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to be in Exodus 1, and we're going to be in verses 8 through 10, but we are going to be in Exodus all morning long. So keep those Bibles open. Keep those Bibles open, and let's get in this together. Exodus 1, 8 through 10. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." This is where I thought I was going to preach one thing, and I read this verse, verse 8. We're not even to Moses' mom. We're not even to any of those girls I thought I was going to preach about. And the enemy, Pharaoh, said, "They are more mightier than we are." And I said, the Holy Spirit, whoo, he like pricked my heart. And I said, "I'm listening. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land." I want to preach a message to you today entitled Warrior Women. Will you pray with me? Lord, we love you and we're so thankful to be in your house, to have the freedom to join together and listen to your word. God, I am so humbled and honored to bring the word to these incredible people today. I realize that it's not my words, but your words, oh God, that pierces between soul and spirit. Lord, your word goes forth like a weapon. Your word is power, it is life, and it is light. And I pray that it would be extended to this congregation today, men and women alike, that we would be able to take hold of it and fight on the right side of the war that we're in today. Lord, we pull down every stronghold in this place in Jesus' name. Every hindering spirit, every voice that raises itself up against the knowledge of God and the work you want to do in this place. Let there be freedom to receive the word, make hearts receptive, and we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. Look at your neighbor and say, you look good. You look great, especially all the mamas, right? So we are in Exodus 1 today, and I'm going to set this story up for us and do a little overview. Many of you know that Exodus tells the story of the deliverance of God's people. This is where the deliverance story begins. And the Bible says, there come a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. So there had been a peaceful time between the Egyptians and the Israelites, but then there came a leader who did not revere the God of the Israelites, nor the people that stood for the God of the Israelites. And at the peak of this division came a Pharaoh who asked for all the sons in the land to be killed. And he appealed to women to help him with that work. So this is the climate in which this story takes place. You know, there's a climate in war. There's a climate in war, and you know what that feels like because you can turn on the TV and feel the climate of the world in which you and I live. And that there is, in fact, a war happening between light and darkness, right? We live in a climate of spiritual warfare. And similar to the world in which we live, the Israelites were living in a dark time like that. A time of oppression, a time of bondage, a time where killing of innocent was trying to become normal. I'm here to tell you that the things we're facing today are not new. And it's easy to look at the news, and it's easy to look at the world around us and think, how did we get here? We've never been here before, but that's not true. We're not the first people group of God to fight up against darkness. So do not be deceived by the enemy that you must live in fear, because I'm here to tell you that we are on the winning side of this war in Jesus' name. Oh, this is hard because you want to say your third note, but you got to stay on your first note. Whew, it's a struggle, y'all. So every war has a climate. Every war has a commander, two commanders, one on each side. And not only did Israel have a dark climate in which they lived, but they had a formidable enemy whose name was Pharaoh, who was committed that the children of Israel remain in his kingdom and not break free. Note that the scripture said, I fear that they are mightier than we, and that if they join together, they will break free of this place and leave it. Wow. So there is a commander. His greatest fear was that they would multiply, fight against him, and break out of Egypt. You know, Pharaoh is a type and a shadow of our enemy. We have an enemy, a formidable enemy whose name is Satan. He's real. He's not imaginary, but he's not more powerful than God. And I've come to share that news today, that just as Egypt had a commander, so did Israel. And just as darkness has a commander today, so do you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world every single day of the week. Every day of the week, hands down, there's a climate in war, there are commanders in war, and there is a command. Every war has an object, something that they're trying to do. The command of Pharaoh is consistent with the plan of the enemy since the beginning of time. And this is where the Holy Spirit began to change my message. When he revealed to me, Cassie, the enemy had a fear. And the same fear that was in the heart of Pharaoh has been in Satan since the beginning of time. The fear hasn't changed. The fear's never changed. The command of Pharaoh is consistent with the plan of the enemy. There's been a war since the foundation of the earth because the enemy that you and I come up against knows his fate. His fate is sealed already. The darkness that you go up against in this life, I want you to know there's already an end and you're the winner. Because the fate was sealed in Genesis 3:15. We have that on the screen. It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now we know that this is referring to Mary, who would have the seed of Jesus Christ, and the enemy knows that. When he comes up against you, he already knows that. So I want to share that with you today. I know that many of you know that truth already. I knew that truth already, but I feel like God just revealed it to me in a new way. That why is the church living in the spirit of fear? Because the fate of our enemy has already been sealed. It's been sealed. There's a reason there's an attack on your life. There's a reason that there's been an attack on the church. There's a reason that there is an attack on living the way God says to live versus not living the way God says to live. And it is because the enemy is afraid of the unified, multiplied kingdom of God that he knows wins against him every single time. You're a part of the winning side. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a winner. I never lose. Amen. Y'all are sassy. I like it. I'm here to encourage you this morning. Those people who were fighting up against darkness, dark situations in this life, and you feel like the enemy is winning. You feel like the darkness that is surrounding you is stronger than the God that is inside of you. But I'm here to remind you that if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, the enemy is terrified of you. He is terrified of the God inside of you. Egypt isn't the only side with a commander. Egypt isn't the only side. You are not a weakling. You are a warrior. Square your shoulders. You may feel weak, but if you are in Christ, your strength is great. And you have access to a great strength that is not of yourself. Because the word tells us, and this isn't even in my notes, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit declares the Lord. We've got some Bible readers in the house. Amen. Yes, the Spirit that lives on the inside of you is greater. But in order to win, we have a choice, right? Not everybody chooses the winning side. Not everybody chooses the winning commander. And there is a choice. And that's the false teaching of this age, is that we all win no matter what we choose. And that's not true. That's not true. You want to be yoked up to the winning side of this war. And I believe I'm preaching to some people who are. So the enemy, what this scripture pointed out, is terrified not only of the God inside of you, because he knows his fate is sealed, but that you might unify with other believers. Notice that in the text, Pharaoh said, I fear that they will unify with our enemies. So if you study that out, that's referring to the Hittites of the north, because at that time, if the Israelites would have unified with the Hittites, they would have outnumbered the Egyptians and they would have overtaken them in war. And I want to tell you that the same fear that was in the heart of Pharaoh is the same fear that is in the heart of our enemy today. And that is why we see an attack on unity in all areas of our life. An attack on unity in the marriage. An attack on unity between parents and children. An attack on unity in the body of Christ. Think about it. Think about it. The enemy knows if I can keep the Baptists mad at the Methodists, mad at the Church of God, mad at the holiness, they'll all fight against each other and I'll win. But God knows if they'll all join together and do a kingdom work, they will advance the kingdom of God and push back the kingdom of darkness. You're a part of the winning side. no matter what the sign on your home church says. But let's unify and love one another and serve God's kingdom together with gladness, because the enemy is afraid of that. But when we take part in hurting one another, we are advancing the other side. We're advancing the command of the other commander. We're in a war every day. Every single one of us, but we've been given the power to overcome the enemy, and we've been given great examples in Scripture of how to do so. We're going to continue together in Exodus. Now we're going to go down to verses 15 through 17, and then we're going to be in 20 and 21. So here we have the examples of two women that I did not originally plan on preaching on, but God said, "You're missing something." So this is what it says, Exodus 1, 15 through 17. "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on their birthing stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him.'" Her name sounds like Pooh, doesn't it, Jayden? I know. I have a 10-year-old on the front row. Shiphrah and Puah. I know their names sound funny. We're moving right along. Okay. All right. Verse 17. Sorry, I called you out. He is so red right now. "But the midwives feared God." Praise the Lord. There's a whole lot of power in that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. The midwives feared God more than they feared the government, I might add. "And did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved those male children alive." We're going to skip down to verse 20. "Therefore, God dealt well with them." He dealt well with them, and the people multiplied. What was the enemy's fear in the beginning of the verse? That the people might multiply. "And the midwives feared God and did what he said." And the scriptures say, "And the people multiplied, and they grew very mighty." And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. Wow, how powerful is that? I can't believe I missed that all those years, because I've always loved the story of Moses. But you had these women. You had these women that choose to join the right side of the war that they were living in a time where oppression was normal, in a time where slavery was normal, in a time where death was normal. They said, "I don't want that to be my normal. I don't want that to become my normal." And they feared God, and they chose what God had to say. In this story, the enemy sought to destroy an entire nation by wiping out one generation. The enemy knew, if I can wipe this generation out, I'll stop this nation from advancing and leaving this place. And do you know who he appealed to help him? Women. Women. That hurts as a woman. It hurts as a woman. He appealed to women, the people who birth, to kill. He appealed to women, the people who God designed to nurture, to kill what was being nurtured in someone else. That's, yes, hallelujah. That's a scary truth if you're a woman in this house. It is. It's happening. It happens. It's happening today. It's happening. The enemy is still doing the same thing today. Modern day culture acts like we're just now coming around and being enlightened enough to realize that women are powerful. Newsflash, women have always been powerful. God knows it, and the enemy knows it. And just as God can appeal to use women, so can the enemy. And women have a choice to make. Will they use their influence, position, and power to advance the kingdom of God? Or will they use their influence, position, and power to advance the kingdom of the enemy? Which side are you going to choose? The midwives were given a choice to partner with the plans of Pharaoh and kill the next generation of sons. There's a war on men in this world, whether we want to realize that or not. And I know that makes tension enough in this room that you could cut it with a knife. But I'm here to proclaim, let's be saving the sons. not killing the sons. Let's raise mighty men. Let's raise strong men. Let's raise confident men. Let's raise men who are good fathers. Let's raise men who are good leaders, because the world still needs the impact of spiritual fathers. And a lot of that has to do with how they're treated by the spiritual mother. I don't have to criticize the position of my husband to stand where I am. I can be powerful and move in anointing in my own right, and so can he. And we don't have to devour one another. The influence we have, the anointing we have, the power we have in the lives of our children. And the enemy has lied to the church and made us feel like it has to be so. It shouldn't be so. It's so in the world, let it not be so in the church. Somebody say amen. Sweating up here, and I don't sweat. And I bought a white suit, so I'm trying not to get my makeup on it. Whew. How many times does the enemy appeal to us to kill what's being birthed in someone else? Because of jealousy, because of pride, because of insecurity. But I believe I'm talking to some women that refuse to partner with the plans of the enemy, that refuse to bring death where we can bring life, that refuse to bring division and discord where we can bring unity, that are partnering with the plan of God to advance the kingdom of God. I'm going to leave you with some application today before I finish. Warrior women have a battle strategy, and we find that strategy in these two women, Shiphrah and Puah. Number one, they chose faith over fear. Look at your neighbor and say, faith over fear. Say, don't be scared. They chose faith over fear. They were asked to do this by Pharaoh himself. He was over all the things at the time. He was over all the things. And I'm sure that it crossed their mind, what if I don't do this? What if I don't come into alignment with what our leader says is normal and acceptable, because I know that God doesn't say it's normal or acceptable? I know that fear had to cross their mind because they were women. They were normal. They were humans, not just women. That would have crossed the minds of men too. This is my leader, and he's asked me to do something. And now I'm not going to do it because I know it's not right. They pushed against their fear, and they chose faith instead. And I'm here to tell someone today that you can too. Because the Bible teaches us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. In Jesus' name, Lord, I speak over the men and women of this house that we will not walk in a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. I speak over every mind right now that has been bound by fear for far too long. We break those chains in the name of Jesus, that they might walk in freedom. Somebody receive that. I've lived in fear before. I know what that's like. I know what that's like, and that's not the way God wants us to live. The Bible teaches us that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. Some fear is normal, even necessary, but living in the spirit of fear is not of God, and there's a difference. I don't want to raise my children in the spirit of fear. I don't want to be so crippled by fear of the darkness that's all around me that I put that off onto my children. Hear what I'm saying. Saying things like, I hate that they're just birthed in this time where the world is so dark. And I'm afraid that. No. I want to look at my boys and I want to tell them, you are mighty men of God. God knew exactly what he was doing when he birthed you in 2013. He knew what he was doing when he birthed Kaysen in 2016. God still knows what he's doing in 2024. Jaden, God's not afraid of your calling, and he's not afraid of the world that he placed you in to walk that calling out. That's what we've got to do with our children. We live in a world that's ran by the spirit of fear, and it shouldn't be so in the church. Those women chose faith over fear. They chose unity over division. There it is. Somebody say, do what is right. Not what is popular. That's a tough one. I'm going to take a deep breath there and a sip of water. My goodness. I wonder if those midwives ever questioned, is what I'm doing even making a difference? does it even matter what we're doing? I wonder if Shiphrah ever looked over at Pooh and said, do you think it even matters? Look at all the slavery around us. Look at all the oppression around us. Look at all the death around us. And as the door closed behind them and they heard the voice of a crying infant that they were supposed to kill, I wonder if it ever flashed through their mind, does this life matter? Does this life matter? Does what we're choosing matter? And we all know, absolutely it mattered. It absolutely mattered that they chose to do what was right and not what was popular. And you know, there may be women here today that have those same fears, those same questions and concerns in your mind. Does what I'm doing as a wife and a mother, does what I'm doing as a daughter of God really even matter? When you go on that college campus and it seems like the majority of people are living in a way that you're not living, does it matter that you're making the right choice? It absolutely matters. Mother who's raising their children up in the admonition and ways of the Lord, does it matter that I'm not allowing them to do all the things that all their friends are being allowed to do? It absolutely matters. I would rather have a 10-year-old that's angry at me than a 30-year-old that regretted the way that I raised them. I love you, Jaden. That's my boy right there. He's like, quit calling me out. Sorry. Pharaoh is asking these women to use their position and their skill as midwives to partner with his plan. They were using the gift. He wanted to use the gifts God gave them to partner with him. Check that out. That is wild. But they used it instead to further the plans of God. These women had no idea that in going about their everyday jobs, they were saving an entire nation, one baby at a time. I'm going to let that one live. No telling who that young man will grow up to be. I'm going to let that one live. I'm going to let that one live. And even so, some of you women, God wants to use your position and your skill wherever you are, whether that's at home, with your children and your family, which is a great place to be, or whether that's in the workplace. But you need to be careful of the call of the enemy to use the position and skill that the Lord gave you to advance what he wants done, because he wants to taint the good thing God gave you. You know, I was thinking we had teacher appreciation in here last week. And I was thinking how hard it is to be a teacher. If you're a teacher, raise your hand. You are a spiritual mother. If you're a teacher, you're a mother. You mother those children that are in your classroom. Some of those children are with you more waking hours than they are with their parent. And what you do is so important. Not just the task of what you do, but the spirit that you carry when you do those tasks. It's so important. And you may never know. Just like the midwives of Egypt could have never known the impact. They think about this. They died not knowing the impact they had. You may never know who you're teaching in your classroom. You may never know what that young man or that young woman God has called them to do. And you could speak one word into their life that will change them forever. I believe in you. I know you can do hard things. I know I've set boundaries and rules for you, and you're not used to that anywhere else, but I'm doing this because I love you, and I believe in you, and I know you can follow the rules, and you can take responsibility for your own actions. You're a mighty kid. You're a mighty son. You're a mighty daughter. You've got so much authority and power to speak into the lives of children. It's incredible. So I want to tell you something today, that there's a warrior inside of you that is able to accomplish more than you could ever ask or imagine. If the band would come on up. Those midwives could have never had any idea that their efforts would save an entire generation. They just knew that what they were doing was right, and so they did it. They did the right thing. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Do the right thing. The midwives saved an entire generation of people, one child at a time, and one of those children was Moses, right? Who we know led the entire nation out of slavery and bondage. Because two women stood up and said, I will not take the baby while the mother's on the birthing stool. I'm not going to kill this child before it's time. Because of that, one baby at a time, they saved Moses. Moses walks all the children of Israel out of Egypt. And because those midwives chose faith over fear, because they chose unity over division, because they did what was right and not what was popular, the fears of the enemy became his reality. He said, I feared that they are strong. I fear that they might multiply and leave up out of this bondage I've created for them. I praise God that I'm looking at a group of men and women that are going to partner with God and are going to see sons and daughters walk out of bondage that the enemy has placed them in and they've been living in for far too long, because you did what was right, because you pray over them, because you love them in such a way that it's going to show the love of God to them, and they're going to walk out of that bondage in Jesus' name. The scripture says, therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and they grew. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, he provided households for them, lineage for them. God did multiply the Israelites, and the people left up out of that bondage that they were led into by Moses. Those midwives could have never known that while they were choosing faith over fear, God was working. While they were doing what was right and not what was popular, God was working. And in that generation of children whose lives they saved, a deliverer would be born. I told you at the beginning of my message that Pharaoh was a type and shadow of Satan. Well, Moses is a type and shadow of Jesus. Of Jesus. And today we have an opportunity to partner with God in his plan for our generation and the generations to come. We could very well be saving our nation by the way we raise our children. Hear me when I say we're in a crucial time in America, and we could very well be saving our nation by the way we raise our children. What we do, women of God, is important, and God knows it. He knows it, and he will empower you with everything you need to choose faith over fear, to raise mighty warriors in the kingdom of God. If you would all stand with me. Something that really stood out to me and God laid on my heart, and I did not plan on sharing this, but I'm going to. Where are we at on time? We're good. Look at me, y'all. Y'all gonna get to go to lunch today. God reminded me of this when I was standing right there, and I generally don't share all of these things from the platform because it's not always appropriate, but in June, my sister, let me preface it by saying, faith over fear. There's people in here, you've been living in the spirit of fear, and God's going to break that off of you today in Jesus' name. I want to share a dream, and I did not even remember this dream until I was standing right here this morning about an hour ago, and I was like, that dream and this message are this literally the same. How did I not put them together? My sister messaged me. We were at church camp, and it was like at midnight, and she never does this. My sister is quiet. You would not catch her doing this ever, but she is a mighty woman of God, and she prays, and I trust her. And she texts me. She's never done this before. She said, I had a dream about you, Cassie. She said, you were under attack, and there were enemies that were coming after you. She said, and we knew it, and Justin knew it, and we were all trying to hide you somewhere where the enemy couldn't get to you, but you wouldn't let us hide you. She said, and in my dream, there was a tall hill, and you said, I've got to go to the top of that hill. She said, and I went to the top of the hill, and she said, I was wearing a white garment that covered my heart. She said, I looked at Justin and said, are you going to let me fight this my way? And he said, yes. And she said, I took the white garment off and wrapped it around my head. And she said, I stuck my hands in the air, and I began to sing the song of praise. A song of praise. A song of praise, knowing that there was enemies pursuing me. So I was praying through the interpretation of that dream. And what God revealed to me was in that season, and I believe I'm sharing this because this is some of you. It's not that your heart is not in the right place. It's that your mind is not in the right place. Your heart loves the Lord and wants to do what He wants you to do, but your mind has been bound by the spirit of fear. And that doesn't mean you're not saved, and that doesn't mean you're not on your way to heaven, but what it means is you're living in torment, and that's not the way God designed you to live. So, it's time to allow God to wrap your mind. And it's you're going to do that, and you're going to find that as you begin to lift up your hands and praise Him. You're not going to find that in hiding. You're not going to find that in ignoring the enemy that's coming after you. The way you're going to advance the kingdom of God in your life and win this war is by sticking your hands up in the air and saying, Lord, I know there's an enemy that's pursuing me. I know there's an enemy that's pursuing my family, my ministry, everything that's around me. But I push back the kingdom of darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. So I want you to stick your hands in the air this morning. And we're going to pray. And when I say amen, if you need salvation, this all starts with salvation. You got to get on the right side and follow the right commander. Our altar team's going to be up here, and you tell them, I need to be on the right side. I want to know Jesus. They're going to lead you through that prayer. If you've been living in the spirit of fear, all I want you to look at them and say is, I've been living in the spirit of fear. The altar team's going to lay their hands on you and pray that God is going to set you free today and show you how to walk out your freedom once you leave this place. So let's pray together. I want you to get ready. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you. Your word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we come against the spirit of fear that has come across the minds of your people, because we know that there is delivering power in your name, oh God. We know that greater is He that is living on the inside of us than he that is in the world. So I pray that today, Lord, that your people who have been living this way for far too long, God, that they would be set free in the confines of their mind. Lord, their heart has been in the right place, but their mind has been living in torment. And today is the day where we want that to end. Today is the day where we want you to break the chains that have bind people for far too long over their mind, God. Lord, I pray over the heart of every mother in this place, Father God, and even over men. Men, this word is for you too. Just because this is Mother's Day, don't you sit there and live in the spirit of fear, because God has given you love, power, and a sound mind. So go ahead, and if that's you, make your way to the front.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.